Sitting behind bars, dressed in a gray inmate uniform, is Travis Oren of Columbus. He was arrested for not paying child support, but Oren faces a much bigger problem. He's been addicted to drugs for 7 years.
And once you start using, a lot of times you just give up and you just feel like there's no hope.
Hope is what Oren is starting to feel, because even though he's sitting behind bars, the Pickaway County Sheriff's Office has a program that connects Oren and other addicted inmates to treatment. The program uses medication known as Vivitrol, which has been proven to help opioid addicts.
A lot of times the same guys in and out, but now they're starting to get, you know, like the Vivitrol shot. They're trying to send them to programs so that, you know, they don't come back, because it's just a vicious cycle.
Lieutenant Gabe Carpenter leads the program. Not only are inmates connected to treatment, but a deputy drives them to the doctor immediately after they step foot out of jail.
Because they're faced with that question once they leave, oh my gosh, that craving comes back immediately as soon as that, the clang of the door, and they know they want it. And so we got to try to cut that part of it off.
This way of thinking is not just happening in jails. It's in hospitals, where medical personnel try to identify addicts through a screening process, then connect them to treatment. The Ohio Hospital Association says its most conservative projections show that Ohio could be managing over 90,000 opioid overdoses annually by 2025 if current trends continue. These programs are also in courthouses, where there are special court dockets for people who are brought in on drug charges. Those people can elect to receive treatment instead. These types of measures go by many names, such as integration, coordinated care, or perhaps most commonly known, intervention.
It's really important to find people who need treatment where they are.
Joshua Sharfstein is a director of the Johns Hopkins University's Public Health School and studies what different states do to curb the opioid epidemic. He says doctors can double the probability of successful treatment if they administer medication assistance such as Vivitrol or methadone in the emergency room.
Unfortunately, many hospitals don't offer that kind of treatment, which is kind of crazy if you think about, well, if you had a treatment that you could provide for diabetes in the emergency department, well, you'd expect every hospital to do it. And in fact, every hospital does do it.
Last year, Ohio's prisons enrolled 15,000 inmates into Medicaid so they could receive treatment once released. Special court dockets around the state helped more than 940 people get treatment and other services. Lori Chris is with the Ohio Council of Behavioral Health and Family Services Providers. They represent the groups that deliver treatment. She says these programs can grab an addict at a time in their life when they're open to help.
When a person is motivated and they have the capacity to take advantage of the opportunity of treatment available to them, then that's the time that we need to make sure we're engaged with them. So having law enforcement and hospitals know that the person's at a critical moment and connecting them immediately to behavioral health services is critically important.
Back in Pickaway County, Lieutenant Carpenter says more members of law enforcement are seeing the important role they can play by not just locking people up, but helping them for when they get out.
It's a win-win for me, because not only are they getting help becoming a productive member of society, but I don't have to see the revolving cycle. You know, we're trying to break it, and it's right now that's the best way that we can do it.
That same reevaluation is happening at hospitals and courtrooms too. For Travis Oren, he's seen the light of sobriety and felt the pain of relapse. But with this new treatment on the horizon, he feels this might be his way out for good.
There's hope out there. Just stay focused. If you go to some meetings as soon as you get out, if you're in jail or you're incarcerated, first thing I'd do would be go to a meeting, get a support group, get connected, and just stay motivated, and it gets better. It really does.
Andy Chow at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
A handful of students sit in this classroom in an old school building on the south side of Columbus, developing in-demand technology skills. Columbus resident David Givens is one of them. The former University of Cincinnati student studied information technology for 3 years before dropping out to take a full-time job to support his first child. His mother passed away around the same time. He became depressed and was in and out of jobs.
You know, I was hanging out with a group of friends and All we did was party. So that led to drinking as well as like prescription drugs.
Givens was convicted of drug and other crimes and went to prison. Now that he's out, he's learning new job skills and looking for a company to give him a chance so he can provide for his six kids.
I put my children first, and you know, they look at me as a hero. So I can't let them down.
Givens is trying to get his life back together with help from Digital Works, a company that has trained and placed more than 900 people in IT jobs since 2013. Stu Johnson says his organization helps a lot of people like Givens.
Generally, about 50% of our participants are what I would call vulnerable populations, either chronic unemployment, generational poverty, background issues, generally related to addiction issues.
Johnson says while his organization focuses on job training and employment, it works with other existing services to help those fighting addiction.
One of the symptoms of his addiction is it takes everything from you. It takes your family, it takes your friends, it takes your money, it takes your benefits, it takes your entire support system, and then it takes you.
Johnson says that's why Digital Works connects its clients with wraparound services to help them with transportation, mental health, financial literacy, or other needs. One of those organizations is Amethyst. Rachel Huddleston, a Columbus area mother of four, is working to overcome the heroin addiction she developed after discovering her husband was hooked on it.
And I started doing heroin at the age of 26. And within 8 months, my life had spiraled out of control. I had overdosed twice in front of my children, had to be taken to the hospital and brought back to life.
Huddleston remembers the day she was arrested for burglary while her children were in the car with her. She says her three older daughters have been getting counseling to deal with what they've experienced.
My oldest, I believe, has PTSD because she's seen me repeatedly beat up. She has very bad stories of watching mommy puke on herself, mommy and daddy fighting over a needle.
Huddleston says she feels a lot of shame because she knows firsthand how hard it is for a kid to grow up with a troubled childhood.
My dad brutally beat my mom for 10 years, and then about the age of 6, he became very fond of me in ways that were not right.
Huddleston says the treatment she and her children have received at Amethyst have helped her to enjoy positive experiences with her children. The managing director of Amethyst, Linda Janes, says 85% of the women and families served by her organization have either mental health or trauma issues that need to be treated before the addiction.
If a client has traumatic circumstances in their background, what we've discovered is until we break through that trauma, until we get to the root of that, that client is not ready in any way, shape, or form to even begin the treatment process.
Because of that, Amethyst is a longer-term program. The average length of stay is 21 months.
What we've found is 6 months doesn't do it. 9 months doesn't do it. Sometimes 12 months doesn't do it. Many of our women have been through other short-term treatment programs, and they haven't been successful.
Amethyst's program has a 90% success rate. It can help 100 clients at a time, and the demand for services is high. Janes would like more money so it can expand to meet the need, but it's expensive. It costs an average of $10,300 annually per client. But if that woman was sent to prison for her drug abuse, it would cost the state $26,300 annually to incarcerate her. Joe Ingles, Statehouse News Bureau.
There are as many as 170,000 Ohioans who abuse or are addicted to opioids, according to a recent study from the Ohio State University's SWANK program in rural urban policy. Abuse of and addiction to prescription painkillers and heroin cost thousands of those people their families, their jobs, their homes, and in the case of nearly 11 people a day last year, their lives. The study put a dollar value on all those losses, $8.8 billion. Every year, hundreds of people gather at the State House with family, friends, and others who help them for the Rally for Recovery. Toby Klein is a recovering addict and professional wrestler from Mansfield.
This is great because people that are in a hopeless spot or at rock bottom or just need something can come here to these events and get hooked up with the programs that will work.
Gary Perez of Columbus says he was addicted to heroin for 15 years.
Now, once you go through that detox and you do that little 30-day program that they have there, then you're out on the street and you have no further more recovery than that other than going out and going to meetings and doing things like that. Without that, there's nothing.
Brenda Ryan of Cuyahoga Falls now works with treatment services after losing her daughter, Sheena Moore, to an overdose last year.
95% to 98% of these people do not have insurance, or they have Medicaid, and try to place somebody in detox or into recovery is near impossible.
Money is a big part of getting people the help they need, specifically state money. In October, Governor John Kasich said he feels the state is fighting the epidemic appropriately.
Do I think that spending a heck of a lot more money is going to, you know, you could always use more money. You could always have more recovery beds. You could always have this. But I think it's been a significant increase. And we're starting to see results. Because of the tightening of our prescribing guidelines, we've seen like a 20% reduction in the number of doses prescribed. So it's all working. But we're not going to get out of this overnight.
Kasich says deadly overdoses from prescription painkillers are at a six-year low, and he credits the state's crackdown on pill mills in 2011. But heroin deaths have spiked more than 300% since 2010, and deaths involving fentanyl are up nearly 10 times that. Democratic U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown is wondering about lawmakers' reactions to the crisis.
They're not doing enough. We're not scaling up the treatment programs quickly enough. Clearly, the state legislature keeps trying to cut Medicaid spending.
But Ohio House Finance Committee Chair Ryan Smith, a Republican of Gallipolis, counters that by saying $20 million was put into the budget for new treatment facilities. And he says more money was added for kinship care, child protective services, and drug and mental health courts.
I'm a little bit offended at, frankly. I think we tried to address it even amidst a billion-dollar hole last year. And we put $180 million into it, and I'm sure people can say it's not enough and that type thing, but, you know, we have to budget responsibly, and I felt like we did that to try to address an epidemic that certainly needs some attention.
The State Office of Budget and Management says starting in 2011, Kasich's first year in office, money that's being counted as opioid crisis battle funds kept pace with opioid deaths as tracked by the Ohio Department of Health. Funding skyrocketed in 2013 as Medicaid expansion was enacted in Ohio and as fatal overdoses soared. But in the last 2 years, the numbers of overdose deaths have risen faster than the money the state says it's putting aside to fight the epidemic. There's no breakdown on federal money versus state funds, but the Kasich administration has said that two-thirds of the nearly $1 billion now being spent to fight the opioid crisis in Ohio is federal money, including Medicaid expansion dollars, which could be at risk in the future. Twice, Democratic state lawmakers have called for money from the state's rainy day fund, currently sitting at over $2 billion. Tracy Plouk heads the state's Drug Addiction and Mental Health Services Agency. She says the state has been treating this crisis as an emergency without the official declaration.
We've introduced more resources. We have changed policy. We have worked to activate, you know, in collaboration with communities. And so I feel very strongly that we have been treating this like an emergency for the last 6 years.
But as for the Rainy Day Fund, the Kasich administration says the Budget Stabilization Fund, as it's known, should be used as a last resort in a financial crisis. Karen Kassler at The Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.